History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. What we've learned over the years is they don't have to go untold, as long as we're willing to take a little initiative and ask a few questions, and of course, invest enough time to listen patiently as memories from long ago take on new meaning in the here and now. We want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we find ourselves inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. Today we have the privilege of meeting 99-year-old Bill Glaspy of Bakersfield, California. He made it through the Battle of the Bulge and the rest of the war in Europe with the 468th Anti-Aircraft Artillery Battalion. His job was to fire at enemy planes from M-15 or M-16 half-tracks. We'll hear some of Bill's memories from those days, but as always, we like to go back even earlier.
Well, I grew up in, you might say, eastern Arizona, up around Winkman, up through there in the 30s. I went to school in there. But we traveled. My dad worked on ranches. In fact, their family owned a big ranch in Arizona at one time. And rather than work on his own ranch, he'd work on other people's ranches. Out of 8 boys and 4 girls, we had 3 covered wagons. I don't know, about 4 milk cows. Mama had her chickens, her hogs. We hauled everything that we could on the wagon. My dad would build a box underneath, put the chickens in that, and needless to say, us boys would herd the hogs and the cows down the road as we go. Some days we'd make a good day's work would be about 10 miles. Some days we'd make 3 miles. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Them old wagons, them old wagon spokes would dry out. We'd come to the river, well, we'd have to take the wheels off and soak them good. But it was, to me, to us kids, it was a lot of fun. It was something. But I know it was pretty hard on my mom and dad.
And I'm just imagining somebody who just tuned in and they heard you talking about covered wagons and they're saying, wait, how old is this guy? They don't realize that there could be someone alive today who actually operated that way. And you said 8 boys and 4 girls. So where did you fit into that lineup?
I was the 6th from the top, and there was 6 below me. I was, let's see, it's Howard, Tom, Celia, Roy, and Vera, and then me. Then the little guys, or we call them little guys, Merle, Dorothy, Jim, Mabel, Kenneth, and Robert. That was all below me. They're all gone now, but just Kenneth and I were the only two left. Now, I'll be 100 years old in December, if the Lord tarries, if I live that long. And the way it's going now, maybe I'll make it.
Well, you must be doing something right. I've got to ask, though, with that many siblings, you must have all gotten along perfectly all the time, right?
Well, we fought like cats and dogs. But, you know, it was, I guess it's like that with everybody. We fought like cats and dogs in our own group, but somebody outside come in and he had his hands full if he picked on one of the guys. Of course, us kids go to school, and I was one of the lucky ones. I had an older brother taking care of us little guys. So I didn't have too much trouble going to school. I didn't learn much. I was too busy looking at other things, and especially girls. But that didn't help me a whole lot. It didn't give me an education. But after I got out of the service, I was discharged in December the 19th, 1945. In Fort Bliss, Texas, and in 1947, I married my wife. We went to Arkansas, and I went back to this GI school, and I learned more in 8 months in that one little spot than I did in 8 years in grammar school. But the teachers had more time to fool with the pupils, you know. And that one teacher said, I'm going to teach you to do arithmetic. if it takes us all year. She just brought her a chair and sat down. Well, by the time I had to leave, I could do a little bit, you know. But seventh grade education is all I've got. But the Lord's been good to me. He's kept me going, give me a real good family. My wife passed away in 2017. Lost a boy in 2011. But I still got four. I've got two boys and two girls, this one and an older girl. And I consider myself real lucky. All the time I went through there, of course, I took all my basic training when I went into service. I went in 43, and all of my training was taken right here in California.
Well, I want to ask you about even before that, you know, because most of us didn't live through the Great Depression. Most of us certainly never had to take care of spokes on a wagon wheel to make sure you could get where you were going. And most of us didn't grow up in a family as big as yours either. Are there some memories you have from those years that stand out now of what you loved about it or what was challenging about it?
Well, there's some things that I remember real well. Me and my brother, just younger than me, was always getting into trouble. My grandpa would buy Prince Albert tobacco in that pound can, and of course we'd go down and help ourselves to some of his tobacco and go off in the woods and smoke. But my dad caught us one time, and when he got through with us, we didn't smoke for about 2 hours. But we didn't have sense enough just to leave it alone. We went back down, and it wasn't no time till we got caught again. And I never in my life heard him say, "This is going to hurt me worse than does you." He didn't just pat you a little bit. He'd give you a whipping, and you knew you had a whipping. But everything seemed to work out. There's times. One time in particular, I remember my younger brother and I was down in what I call the cow pasture. But there's a little dry wash run down through there, and a couple of trees and an old log bin there. We're sitting there smoking, and there's one of them old sand lizards come by, and their tail is curled up over the back. And they just work back and forth like that. He said, "I bet you I can stop that lizard's tail from working." He shot that thing and hit, went right over, and that big old lizard headed toward us. You talk about a foot race. We had a foot race. That lizard was coming after. But there's just things like that, you know. Sometimes I can remember things real plain. Other times they just fade away. I don't know. And some of them old-time things I can remember. I know when we was going to school in Dudleyville, they call it, in Winkleman, Arizona, my mom wanted to have our horses saddled and have groceries on the saddles for, we'd take them up to the cow camp over the weekend. And outside of that, there just wasn't a whole lot going on. Always something to do, wood and water to get for the wash pots. But it was just, you know, to us guys, it was the good type. But I know with Mom and Dad, it was rough. But I've seen her take, she used the Dutch oven. And even on a big stove, she'd use some of her Dutch ovens put on top. But she could fix up a meal in about 30 minutes. It'd just make your lips slip. Boy, it was good. Biscuits and gravy, all of that kind of stuff. But it's just been a real good life for me, all the way from there here. Then I went into the service in September 1943. I don't remember just what day.
Well, there is one date I want to ask you about, because it seems like a lot of people have a specific memory of how they found out. December 7th, 1941. Do you remember where you were and how you heard that news?
1941, yeah. That same time, our house burnt in Avondale, Arizona. And a friend of mine, I was in Lordsburg, New Mexico. We caught the bus. We'd went over there to get a job. They'd work. We caught the bus and went home. And when we got home, we didn't have a thing. And how in the world my mom built back like she did, I don't know. But it wasn't long after that till I got a letter from Uncle Sam. He said, "We want you in the service." And I was in there. I thought it's going to be something, you know, get to go in there and just really have a good time, but it wasn't all that good. All of that basic training, I mean, they was there with you all the time. But it wasn't too bad. The Army, I was making $50 a month, and the Army said, "If you send $50, we'll send $50 home." Well, 1 month I had $4 and something left. But they had what they call rations, and I'd get my cigarettes and stuff like that through that. So it made pretty good. Then we got out here on Camp Irwin. We was out there. We was taking that training, and I thought sure we was going to North Africa because the way they was training desert. We had to crawl with our rifles on our arms like this. And I actually believe every one of them little greasewood bushes had a rattlesnake in it. Them old sidewinders. I'm telling you, you'd see guys moving around this, and they were shooting live ammunition just 30 inches over your head. We pulled out that, and I went and made the deal again. They was having a meeting in the mess hall. I stepped up the door, and the captain was standing there, and the first sergeant was standing there. He said, take this guy to the medics. I didn't feel bad. I didn't know what was wrong with me at all. I felt pretty good. But I went, and they put me in the ambulance. It was me and two other guys. We come all the way from there, all the way back to Camp Hunt. Then they had appendix operation. After that, they gave me that spinal shot. I was in bed for 45 days. I couldn't move from the waist down. But I got out of a lot of them long rat races, they called them. Uh-huh. They had one, it was a 25-mile rat race, and you had to full pack, and you had to walk just fast as you could walk. I got out of that. Of course, I did have to take a 25-mile hike, but it wasn't that bad. But it wasn't too bad. Then we got that new commander. Wasn't long to lay load us up. One of our trains went up in through Canada, down to New York. And our train went by. I stopped in Avondale, Arizona. We stopped for an hour, just a quarter of a mile from where I live. My sister and one of her little friends was up there, and I hollered. But they wouldn't let me off to go see my mom. Just afraid I wouldn't come back. And I might not, I don't know. But it wasn't too bad. We went through, all the way through to Miles Standish. We moved from New York up to that.
How many of your brothers were also in the service?
There was two of them in the Army with me and one in the Navy. But during the Battle of the Bulge, they pulled us all up on a little incline. And where the Battle of the Bulge was fought, there was a little hill like. And the Germans was back on one side, the Americans on the other side. And I seen both of my brothers' companies, but I couldn't find them. Our captain come and pulled us back. But if the Germans had broke through, we'd been talking different language today. They were that close. I don't know. But after that, we went from there. Well, let's see. I went from Glasgow, Scotland.
Well, let me, sorry for interrupting, but I'm curious to know about, you know, your journey overseas. Had you ever been on a ship before you got on that one?
No, and I'm going to tell you, it was a ship. Third largest ship in the world at that time. British Aquitania. And we got out. I don't know. They told us that we left Boston. We went up toward Greenland and just made kind of a big circle. And they said the reason they'd done that, they was outrunning those German submarines. And I had no idea the Germans was that close to U.S. anyhow. But we got, everything went back. We got out there, I don't know how far we was out. We was up on A deck, and that we hit one of those swells. I began to think that thing wasn't going to stop going up. When it come down, I didn't think it was going to stop going down. Water come plumb up over the top of that big boat. I told the squad leader, I said, I'm going back to the cabin. I'm going to lay down. Do you know, on that whole trip, I never did get real sick. But I went down to get some food one time, and the English people was fixing their kidney stew. And you can smell it a long ways before you ever get to it. So I just bought me a candy bar and soda and went back up to my apartment. But it wasn't a bad, you know. There'd be planes come over, and the friendly planes would all drop flares, let them know who English and the Canadian planes come through. But we got down, and the captain come told us, said, your crew's going to Glasgow, Scotland for a mail detail. Probably 6 weeks. But was there, I think, about 2 weeks. Went down to the post office one time. The officer there said, we don't need you guys. We got everything under control. So they just sent us over, and we got on that little boat, went across the English Channel.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know if it's easy to answer or not, or if you remember anything about this, but I've heard a lot of different answers when I ask guys this. Because here you are, you're going across the Atlantic. You know you're going to a war. Did you think you were ever going to make it back to America?
You know, it just didn't strike me that time. Till we got into France, then it really hit. Wonder if we're going to make it.
Well, this conversation is evidence that he made it, but it wasn't without close calls. We'll hear about some of those when we come back. If you'd like to see photos or some brief videos with this 99-year-old World War II veteran, Bill Glaspie, head over to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes page on Facebook, and we'll be right back after this.